المجنون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and created from that soul its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah, and say that which is correct, in order that Allah may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Personally, the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion. And every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strain. And every strain is in the fire. Meaning everyone who practices a bid'ah practices a strain, and he is in the hellfire. Masallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallam. Continuing with our series, Purification of the Soul, the section 60 plus ways, or 60 some ways to get to Jannah, we'll just go back to remind ourselves of the first some ways to get to Jannah. And the first way we had mentioned was the statement of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the shahadatan. And the next we mentioned Iman, belief in Allah and His Messenger. And then we mentioned al-istiqama, or uprightness, and obedience to Allah and staying away from sin. And memorizing and understanding and living our lives as if we know the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reading the Quran in general. Reading ayat al-Kursi in specific, and Surah al-Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk, Surah al-Mulk, the king or the dominion or the sovereignty. Reading Surah al-Ikhlas, remembering Allah in general, and in specific, saying Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And making that dua after we make our wudu, of ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And the remembrance, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the dua that we say when we go to the marketplace, the one that we constantly encourage each and every one of us to take advantage of this hadith because of the reward of this hadith. And we'll just mention it again so that everyone, inshallah ta'ala, can just be reminded of it so that he can say it more often. to get the reward that Allah Al-Kareem has stored up for His believers. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam says, من دخل السوق فقال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير كتب الله له ألف ألف حسنة ومحى عنه ألف سيئة وبنى له بيتا في الجنة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever enters the marketplace and says the dua that we just read, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd yuhyi wa yumeet wa huwa hayyun la yamut biyadihi al-khayr wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, Allah will write for him 1,000,000 good deeds and wipe away from him 1,000,000 bad deeds and build for him a house in Jannah. And in another narration, raise him 1,000,000 degrees or levels in Jannah. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to keep our tongue wet with this remembrance so that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala can reward us out of His mercy. We also mentioned among the ways to get to Jannah is simply to ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for Jannah. And another way of seeking forgiveness, and another way of saying the Sayyidul Istighfar every morning and every evening, and seeking knowledge is a way to Jannah. Making the five salah in the masjid the way that they're supposed to be made is a way to Jannah. Making Salatul Fajr and Salatul Asr in specific is a way to Jannah. Preserving or performing the 12 rak'ahs of sunnah every day is a way to Jannah, and they are 2 rak'ahs before Fajr, 4 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Salatul Isha. Another way is to make the 2 rak'ahs after making wudu, as Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to do, making 2 rak'ahs to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, making sure that your whole heart and your humbleness is into that salah, making a lot of sujood or prostration to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is a way to Jannah, making salah at night is a way to Jannah. And it was also mentioned in that hadith that giving the salam and feeding people food and keeping close family relations are all means or ways to get to Jannah. Another one of the ways to get to Jannah is constantly walking to the masjid to make salah in the jama'ah with the Muslims. Another way is to build a masjid. And whoever builds a masjid for Allah's sake, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. As the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in that authentic hadith. Another way to get to Jannah is to repeat after the muezzin that which the muezzin said when he called the adhan. And among the ways to Jannah are fasting. I think maybe in the coming classes, it might be a class in itself if I just list all of the ways to get to Jannah. Alhamdulillah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made it easy for us. When He tells us that He hasn't made any difficulty for us in this deen, that He's made it easy for us, we can see from the ways to get to Jannah that it's easy for us to get to Jannah. I hope that we take this book as a reminder, because the reminder benefits the believer. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to begin with the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-umratu ila al-umrati kaffaratun lima baynahuma wal-hajjul mabururu laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah And this hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one umrah to the next umrah is an atonement for the sins between those two umrahs. And whoever makes Hajj al-Mabrur, a Hajj that's done, of course, in accordance to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then it has no reward except the reward of Jannah. So making a Hajj for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, performing it as the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to perform it when he told us, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, that you should take from me your rights, referring to the rights of Hajj. And inshaAllah ta'ala, we want to encourage the brothers that if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blesses us at the end of this month, we'll be canceling our classes and we'll be going to try to make that umrah, asking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give our sins. We ask all of the brothers that they have just heard the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one umrah to the next umrah is an atonement for the sins that were in between the two. And this should be an encouragement to everyone to do his best to save his money and to use his time wisely so that he can spend it at the house of Allah, Al-Ka'ba, Mecca, Nasallahu and Yuyasir. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us to tread that path to his house, Al-Ka'ba. Among the ways to get to Jannah is Al-Jihad, or as it is translated, killing the disbelievers for the sake of Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَكَفَّلَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ جَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَا يُخْرِجُهُ إِلَّا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِهِ وَتَصْفِيقٌ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ لِيَنْ يُدَخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ يَرْجِعُهُ إِلَى مَسْكَنِهِ الَّذِي خَرَجَ مِنْهُ مَعْ مَا نَالَ مِنْ أَجْرٍ أَوْ غَنِيمًا. And this hadith has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah, and excuse me for my loose translating, that Allah has taken care of the one who kills the disbelievers or fights the disbelievers fi sabilillah, to make the word or the phrase of Allah superior in the land, and that is the phrase La ilaha illallah, that Allah has taken care of that person. So long as he has went out to fight jihad fi sabilillah, nothing took him out of his house except to fight fi sabilillah and belief in the word of Allah, the Quran, that Allah will enter him into Jannah. Allah will enter that person into Jannah. Or he will return him to his place where he lives, giving him what he has earned of reward with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for the ghanima, or the war booty. So here we see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that whoever leaves his house fi sabilillah to kill those people who have disbelieved in Allah, then Allah, inshaAllah ta'ala, will reward that person with Jannah. The next hadith on the same issue of jihad is also on Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ مِئَةُ دَرَجَةٍ أَعَدَّهَا اللَّهُ لِلْمُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ما بين الدرجتين كما بين السماء والأرض. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari that Jannah has 100 levels that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has stored up for the mujahideen who fight jihad fi sabilillah. Between each level of those 100 levels of Jannah that Allah has stored up for those who fight fi sabilillah is like the distance between the earth and the first heaven. And I think the distance between the earth and the first heaven is 500 years. And inshallah, we'll check back on that. But the distance between the earth and the heavens is the distance between every Jannah to the next Jannah that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has stored up among the 100 levels of Jannah for the Mujahideen fi Sabilillah. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also tells us in another authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari wa Muslim, Al-Jannatu tahta zilal suyut. That Jannah is in the shade of the source. Jannah is under the shade of the source. Meaning fighting to make Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's kalima, la ilaha illallah, to fear in the land. This is a way to Jannah. One of the fastest, most direct ways to Jannah. Among the ways to get to Jannah is giving our money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من أنفق زوجين في سبيل الله نودي من أبواب الجنة يا عبد الله هذا خير فمن كان من أهل الصلاة دعي من باب الصلاة ومن كان من أهل الجهاد دعي من باب الصلاة من باب الجهاد ومن كان من أهل الصيام دعي من باب الريان ومن كان من أهل الصدقة دعي من باب الصدقة فقال أبو بكر بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله ما على من دعي من تلك الأبواب من ضرورة فهل يدعى أحد من تلك الأبواب كلها قال نعم وأرجو أن تكون منه. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this authentic hadith says whoever gives two types of wealth for the sake of Allah, whoever gives two different types of wealth, maybe cash and food, or cash and clothing, or clothing and shelter, or whatever. Two types of wealth, fi sabilillah, he will be called from the doors of Jannah, O servant of Allah, this was good. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that whoever gives something fi sabilillah, that he will be called from the doors in Jannah for the good that he has done. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues to say, whoever was among the people who used to make salah, that they will be called from the doors of the people who make salah, or the doors for the people who have made salah. And whoever fought jihad, then he will be called from the doors of jihad. And whoever fast, then he will be called from the door of Rayyan. And whoever was among the people who used to give charity, then he will be called from the doors of Sadaqah. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after hearing this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, what is it, and I'm not sure if I'm giving a good translation for this. What is it for the person who will be called by these doors? I don't know. Who is the certain, or something like that, to be called from these particular doors? Anyway, Allah knows best. مَا عَلَى مَنْ دُعِيَ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأَبْوَابِ مِنْ ضُرُورًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to go on, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala went on to say, and is there anyone, ya Rasulullah, who will be called from all of these doors, from among the people who have given two types of their wealth, fi sabilillah, among the people who made salah, and the people who fought in jihad, and the people who fast, and the people who gave charity. Is there anyone who will be called from all of these doors? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, and I hope that you are among those. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hoped that a Siddiq, the greatest companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, will be called from all of those doors because of the virtues of Abu Bakr and as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As-Siddiq is also emphasizing the point of giving sadaqah or charity for the sake of Allah, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith collected by Imam Ahmad, مَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ إِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ خُتِمَ لَهُ بِهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Now whoever gives some charity, not desiring anything except the things of Allah, for the sake of Allah, doing it freely and solely for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah will enter Jannah. He will enter Jannah. So whoever gives charity for the sake of Allah, sincerely to please Allah, for the sake of Allah, he will enter Jannah. Also among the ways to enter Jannah is to overlook or pardon the person who is having a difficult time. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنَّ رَجُلًا مَاتَ فَدَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقِيلَ لَهُ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْمَلُ قَالَ فَإِمَّا ذَكَرْ أَوْ ذُكِرْ أَوْ ذُكِرْ فَقَالَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ أُبَايِعُ النَّاسِ فَكُنْتُ أُنْذِرُ الْمُعَذِّرِ وَأَتَجَوَّزُ فِي السَّكَّةِ فِي السَّكَّةِ فِي السَّكَّةِ أو في النقد فغفر له. فقال أبو مسعود وأنا سمعته من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أو as the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this authentic hadith that there is a man who will enter Jannah and it will be said to him, what did you used to do? Then he will remember what he used to do, or he will be reminded of what he used to do. And then he would say, I used to sell to the people. Then I will look at who is having a difficult time at trying to pay me back, and then I would just pardon. I would just overlook it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will be forgiven. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning a man that has entered Jannah. And when he's questioned about that which he did, referring to the deed that he did that earned him that place in Jannah, it was when he used to sell to the people and he found that the people had a difficult time paying for what they wanted to buy, then he would overlook it from them. And that this is one of the ways to Jannah, by overlooking the person who is difficult, who is having difficulty paying back what he owes. Among the other ways to get to Jannah is removing something harmful from the pathway. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ فِي شَجْرَةٍ قَطَعَهَا مِنْ ظَهْرِ الطَّرِيقِ كَانَ تُؤْذِ النَّاسِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he saw a man in Jannah. A man who had cut off a tree when he was in the dunya because that tree used to bother the people because it was in their pathway. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning a man from the men of Jannah, and that which had earned him a place in Jannah was simply removing something harmful from the path of the people. Something that would harm the people if it was in their pathway, whoever removes that, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will give him Jannah. And that hadith is then collected by Imam Muslim. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another narration, the same hadith, says, نَزَعَ رَجُلٌ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ خَيْرًا قَطُّ غصني شوكي عن الطريق إما كان في شجرة فقطعها وألقاه وإما كان موضوعا فأماطه فشكر الله له بها فأدخله الجنة. And this narration is in Abu Dawood and it's authentic also. that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man will be pulled out. He hasn't done any good ever before in the past. Except that he removed a thorn from the pathway, or a spike or whatever, that used to be a part of a tree or a branch, so he threw it away or got it out of the pathway, or it was just laying there on the street, so he just removed it. Allah thanked him for what he did, from removing that harmful thing from the pathway of the people, and entered him into Jannah. So among the easy ways for us to get to Jannah, if we see a big rock in the street, to just remove it. Or a piece of glass where the children are playing, to just remove it and throw it in the garbage can, so that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala can reward us with Jannah from removing something harmful from the path of the people. Among the ways to get to Jannah is being kind to animals. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَّ رَجُلًا رَأَى كَلْبًا يَأْكُلُ الْفِرَاءَ يَأْكُلُ الْفِرَاءَ مِنَ الْعَطَشِ فَأَخَذَ الرَّجُلُ خُبَّهُ فَجَعَلَ يُغْطَرُ لَهُ بِهِ حَتَّى أَرْوَاهُ فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فَأَدْخَلَهُ الْجَنَّةَ. And this is narrated by Al-Bukhari. A man saw a dog eating moist dirt out of thirst. This dog was so thirsty, and they say that dogs get that thirsty that they just eat the moist soil, just trying to get some moisture in their body. I can't imagine somebody being that thirsty. But a man saw a dog that thirsty, so he took off his coat, his leather sock, and he put some water in it, and he gave that dog the water to drink until he quenched the thirst of that dog. Allah thanked him for what he did and entered him into Jannah. So among the ways to enter Jannah is to be kind to the animals. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for Jannah, and we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for the people who feed that cat outside to enter them into Jannah. Amen. Also among the ways to Jannah is taking care of the orphan. And the orphan is the one whose father died. A person whose father died and he becomes an orphan. Whoever takes care of an orphan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him with Jannah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنَا وَكَافِرُ الْيَتِيمِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ هَكَذَا وَأَشَارَ بِأُصْبُعَيْهِ السَّبَابَ وَالْوُسْطَى وَفَرَّجَ بَيْنَهُمَا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, said, me and the one who takes care of an orphan is in Jannah like this. And he held up his two hands, the index finger and his little finger, and he just separated between the two, saying, me and the one who takes care of the orphan is like this in Jannah. And another narration by Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كَاتِلُ الْيَتِيمِ لَهُ أَوْ لِغَيْرِهِ أَنَ وَهُوَ كَهَاتَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this narration, collected by Imam Muslim, that me and the one who takes care of the orphan is like this in Jannah. He did the same thing again. He said that orphan being from the person's family, or not being from his family. In case anyone will question, sometimes you may take care of someone because maybe your brother died and his children were left with you, and you raised those children because it was your brother's children. Maybe you felt it was just your responsibility because he's from your family. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that whether it's part of your family or that orphan is some strange person among the Muslims that you take care of and raise as a Muslim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you in Jannah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this. another narration. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أنا أول من يفتح له باب الجنة يفتح له باب الجنة إلا أنه تأتي امرأة تبادرني فأقول لها ما لك ومن أنت فتقول أنا امرأة قعدت على أيتام لي. And this is collected by Abu Ya'la in his Musnad. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am the first one that will have the door of Jannah opened up for him. Except that there will be a lady coming behind with me. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I said to her, what's up with you? And who are you? She said, I am a lady who took care of some orphans of mine. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this narration of Abu Ya'la, and it's also authentic, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing the closeness of entering Jannah with him to the people who take care of the orphans. So this taking care of the orphan isn't something minor, isn't something light, isn't something to be overlooked, because the reward of it is Jannah. And many of the things that we have covered among the ways to enter Jannah, it just says, whoever says such and such, enters Jannah. Whoever does such and such, enters Jannah. Whoever does such and such, has a house built for him in Jannah. This one says, whoever takes care of the orphan will be like this, with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Jannah. Among the ways to enter Jannah is raising daughters properly. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من عال جاريتين حتى تبلغا جاء يوم القيامة أنا وهو وضم أصابعه. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever raises two daughters to the age of puberty will come on the day of resurrection, me and him together like this. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam balled his fist up together, or had his hands separated and then closed his fingers up together to show the closeness of the one who raises two daughters up to the age of puberty, raises them up properly on the religion of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, and that person is in Jannah like this. And he closed his hand up into a fist, or he closed his fingers together to show the closeness between him and the one who raises two daughters up properly. And another narration by Tirmidhi, and this is also authentic, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من عال جاريتين دخلت أنا وهو الجنة كهاتين وأشار بأصبعيه. In this next narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever takes care of these two girls, he and I will be in Jannah like this. And he just used two of his fingers to show the closeness of him and the one who raises two girls up properly. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this next hadith, this hadith is on Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says, جاءتني مسكينة تحمل لبنتين لها فأطعمتها ثلاث ثمرات فأعطت كل واحدة منهما ثمرة ورفعت إلى فيها ثمرة لتأكلها فاستطعمتها ابنتاها فشقت التمرة التي كانت تريد أن تأكلها بينهما فأعجبني شأنها فذكرت الذي صنعت لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال إن الله قد أوجب لها بها الجنة أو أعتقها بها من النار. And this is narrated or collected by Imam Muslim. Where the messenger, where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, says, a very poor lady came to me, and she had two daughters with her. So I fed them 3 days. We know that among the ways to get to Jannah is to feed people. And maybe when we hear feeding people, we think of what we do here most of the time. We have a big table spread that can feed 100 people. And the food for one is enough for the food for two. Here we see that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in general, when they worked by the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they worked by it according to their needs. That no one burdened himself, but he did whatever he could to live up to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, striving for a place in Jannah. Aisha said a very poor lady came to her. She gave with two children. She fed them 3 days. Maybe nowadays, if somebody said, me and my family, you know, we're having a little difficulty, we need some food. If someone gave them 3 days or 4 days for the people in their family, maybe they might slap them in the face. I told you I needed some. We were having a hard time because we're not having some. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Razzaq, the provider, provides for us from his bounty. But if he provides for us in a small amount, we're ungrateful. But if he gives us a large amount, then and only then are we grateful. But let's see how grateful the people are who earn their places in Jannah. Among those grateful people was this poor lady who Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said her and her two daughters with 3 days. That lady fed each one of her two daughters a day apiece. And she took the dirt, the third date, and put it up to her mouth and was about to eat it. But before she ate it, she split that date in half and gave a half each to her two daughters. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, I was amazed at this. So I mentioned this to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has promised her Jannah because of what she did, for he has saved her from the hellfire. In another narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ أَبْتُلِيَ مِنَ الْبَنَاتِ بِشَيْءٍ فَأَحْسَنْ إِلَيْهِنَّ قُلْنَ لَهُ سِتْرًا مِنَ النَّارِ. That whoever is whoever has daughters or is tried, whoever is tried with daughters and he does treat them kindly, treat them good, then they will be a screen or a veil or a shield between that person and the hellfire. And then also in another narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ كُنَّ لَهُ ثَلَاثُ بَنَاتٍ أَوْ ثَلَاثُ أَخَوَاتٍ فَاتَّقَ اللَّهَ وَأَقَامَ عَلَيْهِنَّ كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ هَكَذَا وَأَوْمَأَ بِالسَّبَابَةِ وَالْوُسْطَى. And this is collected by Abu Ya'la. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever has three daughters or three sisters and he fears Allah and takes care of them, then he will be with me in Jannah like this. And he put up his index finger and his middle finger. In another narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam من كن له ثلاث بنات يؤويهن ويرحمهن ويقبلهن وجبت له الجنة البتة. Whoever has three daughters, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and he shelters them and shows mercy on them and takes care of them, then that person is guaranteed a place in Jannah for certain. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added at the end, promise a place in Jannah for certain. For certainty, that person is promised a place in Jannah. It was said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, suppose there's only two. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if it's only two daughters. And some of the people, they used to think that if we would have said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, suppose the person only had one daughter, that we felt that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have said, even if it's one daughter. In this last narration, just to show the importance of raising the daughters properly, and maybe it doesn't seem that important to us, but knowing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was stating these hadiths, he was stating this hadith to the people who had just left Jahiliyyah, who used to bury their daughters alive. Everyone used to be happy that the women, their wives, were pregnant with children until the child came out as a girl. A girl, bury her alive. What is her crime? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to a people who used to bury their daughters alive and who used to hate to have daughters. And even nowadays, a lot of the Arabs we used to see, they hate to have daughters. And I remember my first child was a daughter. Don't worry, the next one will be a boy. That's all everybody could say. You had a new baby? MashaAllah. Allah yahfazhuk. What's his name? Her name is Lukima. Huh? InshaAllah ta'ala, don't worry about it. Allah will give you a boy the next time. The next time, another daughter. Man, two of them in a row? The third's got to be a daughter. Bam, the next daughter. Three of them. When three of them came, that Jahiliyyah had to drop. Because there's something about that number three that makes you remember the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever has three daughters and raises them properly, enters Jannah. So when you get three, that Jahiliyyah leaves even the people who don't like to have daughters. Because they say, all I got to do is take care of them and have a place in Jannah. All I ask you to make it easy for me to raise my three daughters properly. I ask you for the Jannah. Ameen. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this next narration says, من عال ابنتين أو ثلاث بنات أو أختين أو ثلاث أخوات حتى يمتن أو يموت عنهن وفي رواية يبلغن كنت أنا وهو في الجنة كهاتين وأشار بأصبعيه السبابة والوسطى. And this is collected by Imam Ahmed and Ibn Hibban in Sahih. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever takes care of two daughters, or three daughters, or two sisters, or three sisters, takes care of them until they die, or he dies, taking care of them, or in another narration, until they reach the age of puberty, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I and that person is in Jannah like this, and he pointed with his index fingers and his middle fingers. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we're seeing today, many times he used to use his fingers like that to show the closeness of something. Like he says, Ana wa sa'atu kahatayn. Me and the last hour is like that. To show the closeness of things. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to use his fingers Maybe he used to use the ground to draw a line in, but he used to use his body to show the people to make clear to the people the point that he wanted to explain. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرِينَ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ. And this hadith is authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the people with the most severe punishment on يوم القيامة are the image makers, or the picture takers, or the statue makers, or whatever you call those people who collect the form of creation and put it in shape form, or on paper form, or on film form, or whatever they do. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has his sunnah, is the finest guidance for all of us. We keep it with the, whatever you call that,
camcorder.
I told him I didn't want him to do that. They said, no problem. The brother held up the cord and said, see, I unplugged it. At the end, one brother asked me, why did you do that? I told him that after I know that the people on Yom Kiyamah with the most severe punishment are the image makers, how can I allow that man to be among those people when I know better? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't make anything difficult for us. But he used to use his hands to show the people, to demonstrate for the people. And a lot of times it can be just sufficient for us to come to a lecture and listen to whoever's giving the lesson and look at the body movements or whatever he uses to try to make the picture clearer in your mind. You don't have to see it to believe in it. Because among the characteristics of the believers is that we believe in the unseen. Who has seen Jannah? Who has seen Jannah? Nobody. And if we had seen it, we wouldn't act the way we act. And if we thought it helped us, we wouldn't be acting the way we act. But we only act the way we act because we haven't seen something that we believe in. We don't need to see everything. And I know that America encourages us that we have to see everything to believe it. You've got to see it to believe it. And this is why they hate every single thing. What are they going to do when the brother was saying, when you draw it with your hand, it's not really the person because it doesn't look exactly like him. But when you do it with the camcorder, it's really him. I said, that's the point that Shaykh Al-Albani, hafizahullah, was saying. Say that again. It's really him. That ain't no image. That's him. I said, that's what we're looking for. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, when you make that statement, that's him. And you ask, bring life into him. And you can't bring life into him, Allah is going to pull you into the hellfire. Let's not try to play like the Jews used to play. If Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made something haram, it's haram, except that we're forced to do something. Except out of a dire necessity, we have to do something, and then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is rahim, ghafoor, merciful and forgiving. But if we don't find ourselves in one of these difficult situations of necessity, no escape from it, that we have to do something, let's not try to play. Let's not try to play with this deen. Oh, that's with your hand. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us something, we just stay away from it. And it's like he says, salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَاتُّوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. If I command you to do something, do it as much as you could. That's on the commandments. And we see the commandments of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be many. Do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. As much as we can do, we do. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but when I prohibit something from you, when I make something forbidden to you, stay away. not as much as you could. But when I forbid something from you, stay away. The haram and the istinab is a few we can count it on our hands. A lot of people on the outside, when they look at, they say, man, you know, if we visit the relatives, what can you eat? I can eat everything. Except a few things that Allah made haram. This, that. Case closed. Everything else, we can eat. They try to come to us, and we take it, thinking that Islam is so difficult and so strict. Oh, we can't do that, we can't do this, we can't do that. Yes, you can do everything. What can't you do? Except the few things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden. So when it comes to the haram, we have to be, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, the farthest person from that haram. Like we're mentioning recently, that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to say, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he had to choose between two ways to do something, or two ways in general, that he would choose the easiest of the two ways. So long as it wasn't haram. And if it was haram, then he would be the farthest person from that way. We try to look at some things and we say that if I went that way at the job, I'd get more money. And if I went that way at the job, I might get less money or no money, lose my job. Of course, we're supposed to take the easy way, just like the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, the easiest way. But we're not to stop right there at the hadith. So long as it's not haram, because if it's haram, we're supposed to be the farthest way from it. And we don't need to mention among the things that the people who work for the kuffar give up, or the easy road that they're claiming that they're taking, not making any difficulty on them because Islam is easy. A lot of those ways are haram. Let's not use this hadith to show that because it's the easiest way. Shave off that face real good. Make it look like a baby. Or like a mushrik with a bow tie on. And say, I can get more money at the job like this. I can stay on my job like that. If I look like a mushrik. One of the worst types of mushrik. The one who invent a lie on Allah. They gave straight out partners to Allah. A father. A mother. A messenger. A liar as a messenger. You want to imitate those mushrik telling me you got to provide for your family. What you want to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he tells you, have not we sent our messenger to humanity as an example for humanity? Yes, Allah. This, was it not explained to you that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to choose the easiest of two ways that he was presented with? Yes, Allah. And for that, I chose, Allah's going to say, and Allah knows just to what he's saying, but we're just trying to give closeness to the situation. Didn't you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to choose the easiest of the two ways so long as it wasn't haram? What is it going to say then? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us among the losers. Among the discreet. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people of Jannah. Among the ways to Jannah is good character. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was questioned عن أكثر ما يدخل الناس الجنة قال تقوى الله وحسن الخلق. وحسن الخلق. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned, what are the things that what thing enters a person into Jannah most? What is that one thing that if we did it, or things that if we did it, if we did them, then we will be entered into Jannah more because of this than that? The Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, said, taqwa Allah wa husnul khuluq. The fear of Allah and good character. That these are the two qualities that enter people into Jannah more than anything. More than anything. And this taqwa Allah is to obey Allah and that which He has commanded us, and to stay away from that which He has prohibited, and to do that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us, and to stay away from that which He has prohibited. Whoever does this has taqwa of Allah. And every time you fall into the haram, no matter how small you see that haram to be, then you don't have any taqwa while you're doing that thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, because taqwa Allah is to fear Allah, meaning to do what He wants us to do and to stay away from that which He has prohibited us. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also asked, which thing will enter people into the hellfire most? He said, the mouth and the private part. We ask Allah for Jannah, and we ask Allah to save us from the hellfire. Oh Allah, we ask You for Jannah. Oh Allah, we ask You for Jannah. Oh Allah, we ask You for Jannah. Oh Allah, we ask You to save us from the hellfire. Oh Allah, we ask You to save us from the hellfire. Oh Allah, we ask You to save us from the hellfire. The mouth and the private part. And these are just as the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, said that people will be entered into Jannah, into the hellfire, because of this, these two things more than anything. And all we have to do is look at the people who are treading that path to the hellfire right here in America. And we see that their mouths can't stop. Whether it's in the newspaper form, on all of these talk shows and TV shows, radio stations, everybody, like they say, has an opinion. And everyone's opinion must be expressed. Talk, 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 talk. And the private part, there's no need to even discuss that in America, when this is the land of, I don't know if you can say it, they still say VD. STD. To sum all of it up. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has guided us to Islam, to help us keep our mouths quiet except for that which is good. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve our private parts except with our lives and what our right hand possess, when we become the men who we need to become and fight jihad fi sabilillah. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this next hadith says, Ana Zaimu, or that previous hadith was collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic. This hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ana Zaimun bi baytin fi rabat al-jannati liman taraka al-mira' wa in kana muhaqqan. وببيت في وسط الجنة لمن ترك الكذب وإن كان مازحا وببيت في أعلى الجنة لمن حسن خلقه. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and it's authentic. The Messenger of Allah صلوات الله والسلام عليه is showing that the person who perfects his character, who has good character, inshallah, is among the people of Jannah. But the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi also adds some other things. But ends it off with good character, because of the importance of good character. And I think we've mentioned in the past the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, "Bu'ithu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq," that I have only been sent to perfect the character. As if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't sent to humanity to do anything other than perfect the character. And we just want to remind those people who misunderstand because of their lack of knowledge, who believe that we're in the Meccan stage because of our weakness, that we should refrain from doing certain things now because we're weak and we're in the Meccan stage. What they mean is, don't fight anymore because we're in the Meccan stage. And if you question this, say, no, we're not saying that jihad is no more. We're just saying we're in the Meccan stage and no fighting until the Medina stage comes. We want to remind those people who say that, that if they want to go back to the Meccan stage, then they should look at their characters and try to perfect them. Because we found the people making these statements that had they had the worst character, except when they were among their friends. Like, you give salam to the people you know, and who you don't know, you don't give salam to. And this is among the signs of the last hour, that you give salam to the people you know, and who you don't know, you don't give salam. But the real believers, the people with good character, give salam to the people they know and the people they don't know. So we just wanted to remind people, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided all of us from that misunderstanding of thinking that we're in the Meccan stage. Meccan stage has been over for more than 1400 years. How in the world can we think we're in the stage in a period of time that ended 1400 years ago? It's over with. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the verses of jihad, they remain with us to the Yawmul Qiyamah. Nothing abrogates them, rather they abrogate what came before. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined the importance of good character. And we can't emphasize this enough for ourselves or for the believers, because we're in the land of the arrogant. People who don't know what good character means. People don't know what good character means. Even the children of the Muslims, unfortunately. You can have two grown men talking, and a Muslim child would just come up and just jump in the middle of the conversation. Huh? What was you saying? Akhi, give me a dollar. No respect. And if you try to tell them, don't you see that your elders were speaking? What? This is the children of the Muslims. What about the children of the Kufar? What about the Kufar? We have to be mindful of our character and always try to perfect this, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I guarantee a place on the outskirts of Jannah, on the outer limits of the Jannah, for the person who gives up an argument, even if he's correct. The person who gives up an argument, even though he's right. Two people are arguing. You're right, and you're always right. And the other one, who's wrong? If you give up that if you give up that argument, even though you're right, you have a place on the outskirts of Jannah, you know, on the outer limits of Jannah. And Jannah is a big place. So you'll be on the suburbs of the Jannah. Or the outskirts. And we're going to see that the inner city, so to speak, in Jannah, is better than the suburbs, as opposed to right now. Yeah. But whoever can give up the argument, even if he's right, It is funny that the message of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, says, even if he's right, because none of us have ever argued anyone except that we were right. Whenever you argue someone, you knew you was right, and that's why you argue. But we should be like Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, who used to say, I have never, ever argued or debated a person pertaining to any issue except that I felt that he was correct and I was wrong, and that I did my best to find out where I went wrong and how he was right. And this is why he's Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahumullah, and this is why we are who we are. Nasallahu an yu'inana. We just ask Allah to just help us to perfect our character. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the middle of the Jannah, or the better part of the Jannah, that he guarantees that place for the person who gives up lying, even if he's joking. And this is something that we need to work on, because almost all of the jokes are lies. If we want to make somebody laugh, we either curse or lie. And I remember when I was coming up, we used to just say that how much we love Richard Pryor, because you ain't funny until you curse. And our parents used to say, how can y'all like that too? Every two words out of his mouth is a curse word. He said, if it wasn't for that, it wouldn't have been funny. And the other way is a lie. You just lie and lie and lie to make the people laugh. Whatever will make the people laugh, you do it. Whoever can give up lying, even if he's only playing. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to play with his companions. He used to make them laugh and joke with them at times. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, who is, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you except as a mercy to all of the world. The Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, used to show that mercy on his companions and play with them and make them laugh. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, you play with us and you laugh and you joke with us. He said, yes, but nothing comes out of my mouth except the truth. This is the example of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, goes on to say, and I am the guarantor, or I guarantee, a place on the highest level of Jannah. First on the outside, then in the middle, the best part, and then the highest place for the one who has good character. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing that a lot of people will get to Jannah. And everybody will have their reward, inshallah ta'ala, so long as they say la ilaha illallah sincerely in their heart. But for the person who perfects his character or her character, they get the highest station in Jannah. I don't know what to say, except just to say one more time that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to perfect the character of the people. And we have to be very mindful of our character. And all of us, when we look in the mirror, we see the deficiencies. And we see more deficiencies, unfortunately, when we look at our brothers. For all of us, we need to work on our character. Because whoever perfects his character or makes his character or her character good, they have the highest station in Jannah. Among the ways to Jannah is truthfulness, telling the truth in all situations, even to the kuffar.
803.
Even to the kuffar, and we were mentioning this yesterday. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, if He commanded us to do something, and if He made something forbidden to us, whether we're in the land of the Muslims where we belong, where we're supposed to be, or whether we're in the land of the kuffar where we're not supposed to be, the laws of Allah apply to everyone, everywhere, unless otherwise stated. Lying is haram, is a sin, and a major one. Whether you lie to yourself, to your brother, to your daughter, your wife, or the kuffar, lying is, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, fujur, and that leads to the hellfire. So we should be truthful all the time to all people. Unless, of course, like we said, if there is exception, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us permission to lie, then we'll do that. Like the famous one that everyone knows, in the times of war. And we say we at the war. We say we at war with the one we fear that he might fire us. So we can lie to him. That boss, that kafir boss, he's our enemy. Just because he's our enemy, we think we at war with him. So we can lie with him. We ain't at war with him, and that's why we make sure we're on time every day when we go to work, because we ain't at war with him. And if we were at war with him, we would make sure that when we pull the trigger, he doesn't get up anymore. That's what you do when you're at war with people. If they don't accept Islam and they don't pay the jizya, you try to make sure he don't get back up again, to spread that kufr in the land, that shirk in the land, that fitna in the land. This is the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah didn't lie to people and wasn't disloyal, because Allah doesn't love the people to be disloyal. If you have war with someone, you state it. And you ain't gonna state it, you ain't gonna state it when you're in his prison. He got you locked up as a captive, and you wage him war on him. As if he can't just open the gates, the bars of that prison, and just shoot you down. Or leave the bars there and shoot you down. So let's not fool ourselves into thinking fanatically that we are at war with somebody that we're not at war with, and that we can lie to whoever we want to lie just because they're captive. What we should do is be truthful to that person and tell them that if they accept Islam, they'll have Jannah and they'll be safe and they'll live a good, wholesome life. And if they refuse, then they'll go to the hellfire. Oh, what an evil abode. That's what we should be. That's the way we should be when we go to the kuffar. We should be truthful. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلُ لَيَصْدُقُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ صِدِّيقًا وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلُ لَيَكْذِبُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that certainly truthfulness guides to righteousness, or leads to righteousness. And that righteousness leads to Jannah. And that a person will never cease to be truthful until Allah writes him down as a truthful one. And that indeed lying leads to fujur, or sin, and that sin leads to the hellfire. And a person will never cease lying until he's written down in the sight of Allah as a liar. Being truthful is a way to Jannah, and we should be truthful with all of Allah's creation, the believers among them and the disbelievers, except that we have a text from the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, al-hayy al-qayyum al-ladhi la ilaha illa hu, to make us among the people who listen to what it says and follow the best of it. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins and show his mercy on him. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make the halal sufficient for us so that we don't have to dip into the haram. We ask Allah for guidance and wealth and good health and general well-being, and to guide us on the straight path and to allow us to die on the straight path, us and our families and the people of this land. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you.